About 6:30 Sunday morning, the Alaska State Troopers Alaska Bureau of Investigation got a call about Keyes' death. Keyes was being held at the Anchorage Correctional Complex while prosecutors with the U.S. Attorney's Office built their case against him for the murder of Anchorage barista Samantha Koenig. Beth Ipsen is a spokesperson for the troopers.
We had an investigator respond and investigate, and it revealed that 34-year-old Israel Keyes, who was an inmate at the complex, he passed away due to an apparent suicide. The state medical examiner's office responded and took possession of the body.
Troopers have not yet released details regarding the suicide. Ipsen says results from the autopsy are expected soon. Kevin Feldis is with the U.S. Attorney's Office in Anchorage. He's part of the team that's been interrogating Keyes. He says in discussions with investigators, Keyes confessed to the kidnapping and murder of Koenig. Keyes abducted Koenig from the Common Grounds coffee stand in Anchorage on February 1st. Feldis says Keyes also admitted to killing Bill and Lorraine Currier, a couple from Essex, Vermont. And Feldis says Keyes admitted to killing at least five others.
The names of those victims he would not identify, nor would he identify where they were originally from. And so we don't know if they were from Washington or perhaps one of the surrounding states. He also admitted to us having disposed of a body of someone that he had killed and disposing the body in New York. Again, he would not reveal the name of that victim or where they were from. He also indicated that there were other victims, but as of this past week, those discussions were ongoing regarding who they were and trying to convince Keyes to provide additional details.
Feldis says conversations with Keyes supplied investigators with many helpful details that they'll use to continue their investigation into his other crimes.
That will probably involve weeks, months, and perhaps years of continued investigative work. Of course, Mr. Keyes was the single best source of information about what he had done.
With Keyes gone, though, Feldis says investigators will be relying on the information they have. He says authorities were getting new information from Keyes as late as last week.
And there may be things that we may never be able to uncover that that only Mr. Keyes knows about.
The Anchorage Police Department partnered with the U.S. Attorney's Office on the investigation of Keyes. Chief Mark Mew says Keyes' death frees up authorities to release information they had been withholding from the public, and they hope that may provide help with other unsolved cases.
Perhaps there are people who have information they didn't realize it was significant at the time. People are maybe going to be rethinking missing person cases around the country. What we've amassed and what they have need to be matched up with each other, and that may happen now quicker.
Mew says the FBI has compiled the records of Keyes' movements based on travel documents, purchases, and financial transactions to try to track every place he's been in the past decade. They hope the travel timeline will provide clues to the crimes that Keyes implied he'd committed. But Mew echoes Feldis, saying Keyes' death is a blow to investigations. The question looms, how was a high-profile prisoner like Keyes able to kill himself while in custody? Director of the Alaska Department of Corrections, Brian Brandenburg, says there are procedures in place that were supposed to keep Keyes from killing himself.
In Mr. Keyes' case, he actually was in segregation. Typically, most high-profile cases, those folks are kept segregated from general population. And everyone, when they into the jail, within the first 24 hours, they get a medical screening. And then if there's any signs or indicators that someone is thinking about wanting to hurt themselves, they're referred to our mental health staff.
Brandenburg says Keyes did not show signs that he might commit suicide. In Anchorage, I'm Daisha Eaton.